turn back to Luke and at verse 47. Luke 22 at verse 47. While he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and a man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus asked him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? Now recently, I was introduced to a famous song that I've heard many, many times, but never really thought about. And I was introduced to it and had a time to sit and listen to it, and the words were just so poignant and so powerful that I decided to go and read it. And the song, or the poem, is called Avon Kiss by Robert Burns. And while I might not agree with Burns' lifestyle and the choices that he made in his life, and I'm not here to stand and put Burns in the dock, I'm just saying that Burns, like many of us, made wrong choices. And I must agree that with the multitude of the sheer brilliance and the sheer genius of the man in his writing, and in particular in this song. The emotion, the pain, the separation, the brokenness, the finality, it's all in there. Avon kiss, and then we sever. The separation, the departure, the separation, the pain of it, the deep, deep emotion, deep in heart, wrung tears, I pledge thee. Had we never loved so kindly, have we never loved so blindly? Never met or never parted, we'd never been broken-hearted. Dark despair, the despair that was in Burns' heart, around benights me. What powerful words. What raw emotion. What love. What power. What a genius. Love, departing, separation, finality, it's what we all can identify with. Whether it is first love, which we call puppy love, to courting love, to a courting couple. And I'm glad that Sheila's not here today, because I remember when we were courting and I was going off to work in the North Sea for a month at a time. That was really, you really felt that in your heart. And you could identify with these words that Burns was writing. So we're all familiar with it. Whether it's courting couple, a wife and a husband being separate, or one who has been departed from us by death. And the final kiss, the final touch that you give someone who you know that you will never see in this life again. And the sorrow and the pain of that. We all know the kiss of departure and all the emotions that Burns brings to life is our own experience. In Burns' Avon Kiss, we experience love, we experience separation, and we experience the finality of it, which grips us all, and we can identify with it. And it's wonderful, it's a wonderful song. But what of the betrayal that Burns says nothing of in this song? The beautiful song, the beautiful words, it's in response to an affair he was having. Burns was married within 6 weeks of meeting this woman that he would write this song to. Now Burns had a bit of a complicated life, so I don't want to go too deep in. But the woman he married here, he had already married some years before, and her father had destroyed their informal marriage certificate. But when Burns married this woman again, Jean Armour, in 1788, the parish that they were married in had recognised that they had been married for several years in the words that it says, in an irregular marriage, whatever that meant. But when Burns was having this affair. He was married. And Burns continues this affair till the 6th of December 1791. And on the 6th of December, on the final meeting with this woman he would call Nancy, they separated and parted for good. And on the 27th of December, Burns writes, "A Fond Kiss." While this is a truly amazing love song, which speaks of love and separation and finality, its origins is in betrayal. Betrayal of his wife, betrayal of his children, betrayal of another man. And the history I was looking at said that Nancy's husband was a very bad man. But it doesn't matter who somebody is. He was betrayed. He was betrayed in the most terrible way. So its origins is in betrayal. And in Luke's Gospel, we see the ultimate betrayal here in chapter 22. And we have 3 points. And I wanted to concentrate firstly, more so on the first one, on the betrayal, and then kind of go over the next two. Like we have in Burns' song, we have separation and finality. But in here, we have betrayal, then we have separation, and then we have finality. The first is the betrayal. Judas comes into the garden, and he's got all the chief priests and the teachers of the law and whoever it is with him, and and he's got lots of guards with him. And he goes up, and he's going to give them a signal, and he's going to kiss Jesus. But Jesus knows already. Because remember in Matthew's Gospel, he said, "Arise," he said, after he prayed, "here is my betrayer." And he says to Judas here, "Are you betraying the Son of Man, Judas? Are you going to betray the Son of Man with a kiss?" The kiss of betrayal. So we have the kiss of betrayal, the kiss of separation, and the finality of that kiss. Are you going to betray the Son of Man with a kiss? Now, what was the kiss in Jewish culture? A kiss was a sign of devotion to Judaism and to God. It was more than a greeting, it was a sign of loyalty. In Exodus, when God called Moses and Aaron to work together, Aaron met Moses with a kiss. Aaron and Moses' kiss signified their loyalty to each other and God and their faith. And by working together, God would free Israel through them. A kiss signified the loyalty and devotion, but a kiss also signified weeping. A kiss came with weeping. And we see in Genesis 45 verse 15 that Joseph, it says, kissed all his brothers and he wept over them. A kiss signified the loyalty, the devotion and weeping. And Jesus uses this symbol to betray Christ. You are betraying the Son of Man with a kiss. You are betraying me, Judas, with the symbol of devotion, with the symbol of loyalty, with the symbol of weeping. You use the symbol that says, "I love you." You use the symbol that says, "I support you, your work, your mission, your ministry." You use the symbol that says that you weep with me when I wept over Jerusalem, Judas. You saying that you're weeping too. You're using this symbol that says all these things. You weep with what I weep for. And you're using the symbol that says that you're in support of me to betray me. You kiss me. You betray the Son of Man with a kiss. You pretend you are loyal and devoted and support me. Right to the end, Judas. He could have left with the 72. Remember when the 72 found the teachings really hard in John chapter 6. When they said, "These teachings are hard." And Jesus said, "Will you also leave?" he said to the 12. And then Peter turns around and says, "To whom can we go? We know that you are the Holy One of God." And Jesus says, "Yes, but one of you is a devil." Jesus knew that Judas was the devil. Jesus knew Judas would betray him. The Son of Man will be handed over, Matthew 26, 22. One of you will betray me. Mark, one who is eating bread with me. Mark 14, 17 says. John 13, 24. It is the one I give the piece of bread when I dip it in the dish. That is the one that will betray me. Mark 14, 20. The warning that Christ gives. But woe to the man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him that he had not been born. Did Judas hear these words? Because he was warning of the consequences of the accountability that Judas would have to take for his actions. And there is a warning coming from Christ that there are consequences, and we will be accountable for the actions that we do if we do not repent. Jesus knew that Judas would betray him. Jesus warns, yet Jesus is wounded, betrayed by the sign of loyalty and devotion and support. When Jesus is in deep sorrow, as it says in Matthew 26, 36, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, the betrayal comes. Jesus is on the brink of separation from his Father for the first time in eternity because of human sin we laid upon him. The betrayal comes. Jesus is filled with anguish. An angel comes to strengthen him. The betrayer comes. When Jesus finishes praying, the betrayal comes. The betrayer comes. Arise, Jesus says, here comes my betrayer. See, betrayal is a terrible thing. It's an inside job and it is cowardly. Our country back in the 1950s and 60s was betrayed by the Cambridge spies. The Cambridge elite, Philby, MacLean, Burgess and Blunt, would betray this country and cause serious damage to the security of this country. Men who were supposed to be protecting us were undermining the security of this country from the headquarters of MI6. Betrayal, treason, treachery, giving away the country's secret and giving away the lives of many people in doing so. If a man can be guilty of betraying a nation, what about the ultimate betrayal, the betrayal of God? Judas was in Jesus' inner circle. He was one of the 12. He worked from the inside, pretending to be Christ's friend, to betray Christ. He was a man of awesome privilege. He was privy to the interpretation of the parables. How amazing to hear Jesus preach, to hear the public preaching of Jesus, and he's speaking in these parables, but how much greater to have these parables explained to you. And the disciples were privy to that. How much greater. This is a man whose condemnation is irreversible. And I'm not saying that, you know, if we go so far we can't, but it was in his attitude. He was never going to reverse from the course that he was on. He was going to continue on this course to hell. The things he heard, the things he was taught, the things he had experienced in the Garden of Gethsemane, where we met often. Maybe he dozed off a few times, dozed off from the lack of interest in what Christ was saying. But there's surely times he must have heard awesome things. How amazing, how awesome to have the Bible, to have the Word of God, to have the words of Jesus in print, to have them read, to have them preached to us, to have them explained. And we thank you for the ministry from this pulpit over the many years that has done that. How we will be without excuse on the day of judgment. Jesus said of Judas, woe to him who betrays the Son of Man. Woe to him who has heard the words. Woe to him who saw these miracles. Woe to him who had these miracles explained. Woe to him who betrays the Son of Man. Remember in Matthew 11, 23, woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida, for if the miracles performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Capernaum, if the miracles that had been performed in you in Sodom. Sodom would have repented. It would be more bearable for Sodom on the day of judgment. We who have heard the word read and preached and explained and seen the miracle of conversion to Christ, if we have been touched by Christ, if we have seen his faithfulness, do we portray that or do we betray him? Are we in a sense, we are all in a sense in Christ's inner circle. We come to hear the word, to have it explained. It is read, it is preached. But we're not all his. And that's our choice. We are privy to things that the outside is not, because the outside world does not hear the preaching of the gospel from the pulpit every week. And we are privy to tremendous things here, simply because they choose not to come. Roddy preaches and he explains the gospel every week. What will we do with that? Will we embrace the secret things of God and share them? Will we share these secret things to the world? See, Judas did not share the secret things, but he betrayed Jesus' secret place, the Mount of Olives, the Garden of Gethsemane. He told where Jesus was. He betrayed his Savior, and he betrayed his Lord, and he betrayed where he was. And as I said, Gethsemane was a place close to Jesus' heart. Luke 22, verse 39, Jesus went as usual to the Mount of Olives. And some commentators have said that this was Jesus' favourite place. I don't know. So Gethsemane was a place to relax, to meditate, where he explained a lot of things, and where Judas heard a lot of things. And on that night, in Gethsemane, it was a place of suffering. It was a place of betrayal. The private favourite place of Jesus, Judas would betray him. A betrayal, I said, is an inside job. A betrayal is a cowardly thing. Jesus waited, it says in beginning of Luke, he waited for an opportunity to hand Jesus over when no crowd was present. Cowardly fear, probably afraid of the reaction of the crowd, but also the fear of being exposed. Keep it private, keep it in a private place. It's just the disciples. He's not the leader I thought. He's not worthy of following. And Jesus never believed like the other disciples would. And we know that all the disciples had hiccups about who Jesus was. But we know that they believed something that Judas never believed. We know that they might have thought that he was a political leader. But this was the path that Judas went on. Perhaps he's a political leader, yes. But he's no God. Maybe there's power in it for me. Maybe there's money in it for me. He didn't care about Jesus being caught. He cared about himself being caught out. Private betrayal would protect his public image. What do we care about? Jesus or ourselves? What do we believe in? Jesus or ourselves? Are we more concerned about what we do in public or what we do in private? What are we more concerned about, our public image before men or our private image before God? What is more important, our religious duties or our betrayal of Christ? See, Judas' religious duties was to betray Christ. He betrayed Christ. He went to the religious men, that was his duty, and he betrayed Christ for 30 pieces of silver. That was his duty. It was to the religious men. He gave them Jesus over to the religious men. That was his duty, his religious duty. And religion is a betrayal of Christ. It's a betrayal of the truth. It's a betrayal of the truth of God. It will we betray Christ in our community or betray him by our religious duties? Will we kiss Jesus with a kiss of loyalty, with devotion, with weeping? Or will we kiss him with the lust, the passion of this world, with our religious duties? He knows if we kiss him as a believer, if we are loyal, if we are devoted, if we are weeping, or as a coward who betrays him. betraying everything of him. If we don't love him, if we're not loyal to him, if we don't weep with him, let's not pretend to him that we do. Because like Judas, he knew. Don't kiss him with Judas's kiss, the kiss of religion, the kiss of the religious man's spy, the kiss of the religious man's puppet. Don't kiss Christ with the kiss of betrayal. Woe to him who betrays the Son of Man. And it was the kiss of betrayal that would lead to separation. The night, this night would be Jesus' last night when he would see Judas, when he would be with Judas. They would be separated forever, and not just for time, but for eternity. And Jesus' last words to Judas are, "You betraying the Son of Man with a kiss." His parting words are so ominous. The hour of their departure had come. Jesus to do the work of the Father, which would take him to the cross at Calvary, where he would be nailed to it, and Judas would continue in the work of Satan, and they would separate forever. What was it that kept Judas away all the time from Jesus? What was it, although the other disciples had their problems and their hiccups, and that's another sermon, what was that kept him from Christ, that kept him from the other disciples, that prevented him having a relationship with his Creator? Well, it was money. Money was one of the things. Judas loved money. He loved mammon. The love, the god of money. And the Bible says a lot about Judas's character when it comes to money. It says Judas held, Judas took, Judas got the money. And finally, when it was too late, Judas returned the money. Money was one of the many things that separated him from Christ, from the other disciples. Peter, James and John and Matthew, the tax collector, gave up everything to follow Jesus. Judas gave up Christ so that he could have everything in the world. What profited a man to gain the world and to forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? Well, the Pharisees gave him 30 pieces of silver for his soul. What have we got in exchange for our souls? But Jesus was never Lord of Judas's soul. To Judas, Jesus was always Rabbi. He was always just a teacher. He was never the Son of God, the Holy One of God. Jesus was Rabbi. Judas was not a sinner. He was okay. He was fine. Judas's attitude, Jesus is not Lord. He's just a rabbi. He's not the Messiah I expected. I might as well get what I can. If I can get political power, if I can get possession, and I can get possessions and position, and I can get money. It's not happening. I'm not getting these things. He's not worthy of my loyalty. When a better offer comes, we will part. And that's what happened. They separated. And Jesus would come back for the 11, but never for Judas. He could never come back for Judas. And when they parted that night, it was forever. And that's the finality of it. When Burns and his mistress separated on that night, on the 6th of December, it was forever. It was for good. 6 weeks later, she would sail from Greenock to Jamaica, and they would never see them again. An ocean would separate them, a vast ocean, the Atlantic. The unfaithful relationship to their spouses had ended. That night in Gethsemane, Judas's kiss symbolizes the finality of his choice, of the path that he had decided, of what he thought of Christ. It's the final decision he had taken regarding Jesus, regarding salvation, regarding sin and eternity. That was his final decision on these important issues for his soul. It's like who wants to be a millionaire when Chris Tarrant says, "Is that your final answer?" he says. And he keeps pushing and pushing them and he says, "Are you sure? Is that your final answer?" Well, Christ is saying the same to Judas and us on who wants to be saved. Is that your final answer? Is that your final answer? Betrayal, are you sure? You can change your mind. You know if you're wrong, you will lose everything. You will lose your soul. Judas chose betrayal, clothed in the veneer of loyalty, devotion and weeping. Sealed his betrayal with a final kiss. He left Gethsemane that night while Jesus was dragged from it, beaten and scourged and brought before numerous leaders before he was crucified. He left Gethsemane that night and he sailed on an ocean of his own sin, away from Christ, away from the safe haven, until he was shipwrecked on remorse. He was shipwrecked on remorse. He regretted, he felt guilty, but what did he do about it? He didn't see his need to put things right. He didn't see his need, like Peter, to repent. He didn't see his need, like Peter, to seek forgiveness. He returned the money and he thought that he was making amends, and he took his life. What he should have done was returned to Christ and given his life in repentance. That's what he should have done. Judas' betrayal of Christ was with a kiss. But we can all be guilty of this. Kiss Christ at the end of the week on a Sunday, while through the week we betray him. We claim to kiss him with loyalty and devotion and weeping. And I know that for myself. But our lifestyles and attitudes can betray him. It's saying he's not Lord, he's not Saviour. He's not worthy of our devotion. He deserves to be got rid of. He deserves to replace. Let's replace him by religion. And Christians can be guilty of that. Let's replace him by money. Let's replace him by worldly pleasures. Does Jesus say to you and I, do you betray me with a kiss? We might be in Christ's inner circle, but it's Christ in our heart. Christ's name was on Judas's lips, but Christ was never in Judas's heart. Out of the lips that kissed the Saviour came the overflow of the heart, betrayal. It's not whose name is on our lips, it's who is in our heart. Let our kiss of Jesus be one of a life of loyalty, of devotion, of weeping for sin and sinners, and not one of betrayal. May God bless these thoughts to us.